Hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business. I'm not going to waste a lot of time today talking about the business, but you can find out everything you need to know by going to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out about the business. You can find out about this ministry. You can see how the hand car washing business that we have on Highway 11 in Church Hill coordinates with this ministry. But I will tell you this, the money we earn from washing your car is what keeps these verse-by-verse Bible teachings on the radio. Remember, we never ask for charity or gifts or donations or tithes. We simply ask for your patronage to the car wash. Let us work as Paul made tents to support his ministry and many people around the world who do the work of God for the kingdom and don't do it for money. You know, we're not looking for applause. God knows our hearts, and we just have a desire to get God's word out there, and we pray that you're hearing these messages, and more importantly, that they're blessing you. All right, so again, you can listen several different ways. Just go to washandword.com or give us a call at 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. Now, getting back to our verse-by-verse teaching, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we read verses 2 through 5 yesterday or in our last teaching, and there were three things in that, in those few scriptures that we wanted to talk about that Solomon is telling us as to why we should obey our government. And we covered two of them yesterday in our last teaching. One was we should obey our governments because you are a citizen of that government. And we talked about that in our last message. Again, washandword.com, click on the media tab and you can hear all these messages. The second reason was because it has the power to compel you into obedience. And we were touching on how the law has, forces us into obedience. So whether we do it willingly or we do it forcefully, we're going to have to do it anyway. So that's another reason why we should obey our governments. And the only problem with being compelled or forced to obey is the obvious lack of reward. You know, there's a reward for obedience. Voluntary obedience. Yet you can be forced to do the same exact thing and receive no reward because of its forcefulness. You see, in Christ, we are compelled to obedience, but in a totally different way. Just as the disciples said that they cannot help but preach Jesus Christ, we cannot help but be submissive and obedient and do the things that we do. At least we should be. And so the third thing, the third reason to obey our government that we live under is that obedience alleviates further harassment and punishment. Obedience alleviates further harassment and punishments. And we see this in the first part of verse 5 in chapter 8. Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. And so he says that if you obey, then there won't be any harm that will come to you in the future. I mean, it's simple. Obey the law and you won't have future consequences. Run the red light and there's a future ticket coming for you in the mail. And if you consider the traffic laws, for instance, since we're talking about that as an example, what do you think this world would look like without them? Well, I know exactly what it looked like. Go drive down in South Florida for a little while. That's kind of the equivalent of what this country would look like without traffic laws. But what do? They keep the peace. They keep order. But if you do not obey the speeding laws, you get a speeding ticket. And if you do not obey the speeding ticket, you begin to get worse punishment, and you can even lose your license, and it just gets worse and worse. So another reason to obey our laws and our government is because disobedience just leads to more and more future trouble, more and more future harassment in your own life. And reasons number 2 and number 3 are pretty much conjoined together. The government has the power to compel you into obedience, and by doing that obedience, it alleviates further problems. But topping all that is our obedience unto God. By that I mean, why not just do the right thing because that's what God wants us to do? You know, forget about doing the right thing or obeying the laws or, you know, not speeding, whatever example you want to, forget about it. Forget about all that stuff about because it's your government, it's your country, it's the law, there's punishments attached to it. Forget about all that. Why don't we just be obedient as unto God? It eliminates all of that stuff that we just talked about. And so you're saying, well, handsome radio preacher, why did you talk about it all again? Well, it's obvious. Just ask my wife. I love the sound of my own voice. Now, that's not true. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I don't feel like being honest with myself today. But again, let's just obey whether we agree or not with our governments and our laws as unto God. You know, we see a strong difference between human government and Christ governing over us. Even though the human government can compel us to obey through force, we still have a choice not to. You know, even with all their laws and their punishments in place, we still have the free will not to obey if we so desire. You know, we would have to rack up the punishments, but still, it's a choice we don't have to make. But the result, of course, is not favorable. The choice is ours, but the results are not. But this is not so with Jesus. Oh, sure, we can choose disobedience in Christ, but the true disciple of Christ simply does not want to disobey him. So obedience to government must be as unto the Lord, or it will fail. Do you understand that? We have to be obedient to our government and to our laws as unto God, or it will fail. Because obedience for any other reason is going to lead to failure. Do it as unto the Lord. Let's move on. We belabored this point enough. Looking again at verses 5 and 6, Solomon says, whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. Verse 6, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. I want to stop right there because this verse here kind of reflects all of chapter 3. And if you remember in chapter 3, and again, you can go to washandword.com and look at the all of chapter 3's sermons that we did. But in times of misery or pain or sorrow, times of discomfort, we as humans are prone to what? Well, when we're suffering through those times, we're prone to self-solution. When you're having a period of pain or sorrow or discomfort or, you know, sadness, whatever it is, and naturally so, as humans, we are looking for the solution, and oftentimes we do it through self. But self-solution, outside of God's proper time and will, as Solomon says, is simply not wise. You see, it's okay to self-solve your problems. In fact, there's too many people standing around looking for other people to solve their problems. We should be more proactive in getting our own lives in order and fixing our own problems and mistakes and getting ourselves up out of certain times and periods of mire and muck. And we should do it because that's what a self-starting, God-fearing individual should do. But a self-solution outside of God's proper time and God's will, well, that's not wise. That's pride. You ever heard the phrase, and people attribute it to the Bible, but it's not in there, I assure you. God helps those who help themselves. Do you think that's true? Let me ask a different question. Do you think that's in the Bible? I know I just answered it. It's not. You won't find God helps those who help themselves. You won't find that in a biblical verse, but you will find that to be biblically true. And what I mean by that is God gives us the faculties, the abilities to uplift ourselves out of certain situations. So maybe it's best said, God helps those who are willing to help themselves. God helps the helpless, sure. But when God helps the helpless, it's because the helpless have no way of helping themselves. Oftentimes, God, and you see it strewn throughout the New Testament, Jesus coming to the rescue of children who have no way to help themselves. Jesus coming to the aid of women who were socially downcast and had no say in society. Jesus rushing to the aid James exhorting us to take care of the orphans and the widows because they didn't have the ability to help themselves. But if at all possible, we are expected to do our part. When Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, "I'll heal you, but go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam first." Jesus often made people do their part before he did his part. And what is our part? Well, that depends on the situation, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just thinking through a situation. Sometimes it's praying. Sometimes God wants us to fast. Sometimes he wants us to gasp, wait, and be patient. Sometimes he wants us to get up and start moving and shaking. Forget about waiting. You're waiting too long. Sometimes he wants sweat. Sometimes he wants blood. And sometimes he just wants you to let him do it. I read somewhere that the Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first, but finished with his torch still lit. And that's interesting because sometimes it isn't about just running fast. It's about running carefully. You ever try to walk from one room to another room with a bunch of lit birthday candles on a cake and try to get to the other room without the one or two or more of those candles burning out? You're trying to shield them with your forearm and, that's just a matter of not being the fastest one to the room, but being the more careful one. And that's how it is with God and our self-solving solutions situation. Oh, that's fun to say. Self-solving solutions situation. Go ahead and say that 5 times fast, because I'm not going to try. But that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to run smart. He wants us to choose smartly, not quickly, not necessarily faster, but to do it the way he does it. So how do we reconcile God's sovereignty with our abilities? Well, I'm glad that you asked that. And I would summarize it by saying this. God provides the way. Listen, we provide the locomotion. God provides the way, but we provide a locomotion. And in Solomon, our text here, we're being reminded of the timing. He says there's a proper time and procedure for every matter. And he says, though, even though in a man's misery, though, it weighs heavily upon him. Listen, in misery, wisdom is seldom exercised. Yet in misery, that's when wisdom is needed most. I remember reading about a waiting period. It's a 3-day waiting period for a handgun. Or someone was complaining about that. And the retort was, if you need a handgun right now, you need a waiting period. That makes sense. You know, a compost pile is no good unless there's a waiting period. Listen, as we wind down, when it comes to obeying God-ordained government, there are time limits. There's the April 15th tax time limit, your birth date to get your vehicle re-registered, paying tickets by a certain time. And so, if obeying God-ordained government is godly and Christian, and obeying the set time restraints for that obedience is godly and Christian, would not that principle be applied to everything that we go through in life? There is a time and a procedure. God will provide the way and we will provide the locomotion. And when our abilities combine with God's sovereignty, God is able to work perfectly through that situation. Well, we'll pick it up where we left off, which we didn't get very far today. You know, it's not about how much God or how much Bible we read. It's about how much we let the Bible read into us. So we'll pick it up in verse 7 in our next teaching. In the meantime, once again, we invite you to come by the Wash and Word on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center in Churchill, Tennessee. And when you're there, turn on 107.1 FM to hear these messages playing on a loop in the parking lot area. And let us know you're hearing these sermons on the radio. We'd appreciate that. And look forward to seeing you. Have a blessed day.